Thanks again to everyone who's read Hooked to Soup in the meeting, and I'd just like to welcome those that are joining us since we first started. We're really glad you're with us. So we are a speaker meeting tonight, and it does fall on me to introduce them. It's always a privilege, I believe, when someone comes to our meetings and chooses to stay and call this a home group, you know, call our groups their home group. I remember when this individual first started coming to our meetings, and you know, I've always respected the way they've shared. I've always enjoyed listening to what they've got to say. Their ability to allow themselves to be vulnerable with us is a privilege, and I think that's always a privilege in NA. And yeah, this person has actually become a really valuable and important member of HIGNA. So without further ado, I'm at short notice, because I only asked him yesterday, I'm going to introduce you to John H, who's come along to share his experience, strength and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes. He celebrated a milestone of recovery fairly recently, and I'll leave it to him to share that if he chooses. But John, the floor is yours, my friend. Please share with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for that wonderful introduction. I'm John. I'm an addict.
Hi, John.
And I did recently celebrate on May 24th, 18 years clean. And I bring that up in part just to put things into perspective. I started using at like 13 years old, including the years I relapsed. I used for a total of 30 years. So for me to be able to disconnect from the using life is really an incredible thing. I feel so much gratitude for that. You know, some people never make it to this program. Some people make it and they don't stay. Some people never even hear about this program. So I always feel very fortunate. I don't know, I was thinking about, you know, this past year of my recovery, at least 6 months of it, 6 months of it have been extremely difficult. And I feel fortunate that I've come out the other side of that. So I want to talk a little bit about pain, which is a cheerful subject. And there's a quote I really love. I believe it's from the third tradition. Each of us has paid for the right of the price of membership. We have paid for the right to recover with our pain. And I think that's very true. I don't know for sure when I came in and all the times I came back, if I really wanted to stop using or I just wanted to stop being in pain. Took me a long time to realize that the two were connected. A lot of times I thought using was the only thing that was keeping me sane, which is an insane attitude, actually. But, you know, it was a way of life. It was my entire social life was based around using. Spent a lot of time in the pubs, the bars, and I would come into recovery, you know, after 24 years of using and in and out, and I wouldn't really connect with anyone in the program because my way of socializing was, you know, getting wasted with other people, and I loved like staying up all night talking about life and human nature and all this kind of stuff, and to be invited to go out for coffee for half an hour or go bowling or, you know, play a game or something. It was just weird to me. And I used to feel like, well, everyone's very friendly in meetings, but then they just go home. And, you know, the fact of the matter is I was being invited to do things. I just didn't think much of them. Kind of took it for granted, and I would feel isolated, and I would walk back into a bar room and start everything all over again. So I don't know, eventually I was able to surrender. That was the key difference for me after all my years of relapse, was finally being able to surrender. And you know, it's in retrospect that I see that. I don't know if I knew what surrender was. It's definitely connected to humility, and took me a long time to have humility and to believe that I didn't know more than everybody else in the program. I didn't know more than people who had a lot of time. I had the whole thing down. You know, I'd read the book. I was a good student. I was all set. And but I hadn't applied any of these principles. And, you know, when I finally did, I guess it was a leap of faith to let people help me, things changed. And I started to feel like I was going to be okay. I started to feel like I had support. I started to feel like I had people in my life that that cared about me and didn't want anything back. The first time I did the steps, I had never thought of myself as being an angry person, but I realized in my using life that I developed a lot of resentments. I was always generous and welcoming people into my house and listening to people's troubles and all this kind of stuff. I really had no sense of proportion or boundaries. And I came to expect the same from people. And when they disappointed me, I wasn't this nice, spiritual, empathetic person. I was an angry person. And I used to enjoy setting people up for kind of verbal assassinations. And if I thought that I was righteous, then I would, you know, nail people with pain, with their pain, things I knew about them. And, you know, that was not kind. And a number of years ago, I guess about 8 years ago now, one of my brothers died, and it set off this sort of chain reaction for me, of remembering things that I had done that I had suppressed completely. And it entirely changed my perspective on what my using life had been. You know, I thought I had been this romantic character whose heart got broken many times and all this kind of stuff. And I realized my relationships were not, but that was not really the tone all the time. And that I was not always kind, and I had to face that, and it was difficult. But I didn't leave the program. I had trust in the program, and since I got clean this last time, that faith in the program has never wavered. I heard somebody recently say something that I thought was kind of funny. He said, "What's the point of when going back out? I'm just going to have to come back here," meaning the meetings. And, you know, I felt like that's true, but only if you're really, really fortunate. You might never get back. And I've seen people who've never gotten back. I've seen people die. So I don't take it for granted that I'm here, and I have no illusions about what my life would be like if I start using. You know, might be fun for a couple of hours or something, and you know, I will find myself getting arrested, stumbling around, degrading myself and everything else. And I'm glad I have that clarity. You know, it's taken a lot of perseverance and determination and honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to to stay here, to keep working on my recovery with a sponsor. This, you know, it talks about this being a spiritual program. People talk about it. It's in the literature. But before I started practicing these principles, I just thought the whole spiritual idea was just some kind of, you know, hippie kind of thing that was pretty vague. And over the years, I realized that the principles were written down, and it talked about how to apply them and listed them. And I'm fortunate that I have a sponsor who's constantly stressing applying spiritual principles. And if a difficult situation comes up, he'll always say, well, it's a good opportunity to exercise spiritual principles, which might not be the first thing I want to hear, but I agree with him. You know, that's the way out of pain. And, you know, it says with each setback, we are given a new opportunity to renew our commitment to live by spiritual principles. And that's definitely true. You know, I went through the end of a very intense, meaningful romantic relationship, and it was only the second relationship I've been in since I got clean, and the previous one I didn't really care when it ended, and neither did the other person, so that was pretty easy. But this was very, very difficult. But you know, it also says, well, the circumstances of our lives may not change, the way we deal with those circumstances does. And you know, I suffered a lot of what I looked at as heartbreak during my using years, and you know, which some of those relationships were just absolutely insane, and for me to feel heartbroken was absurd. But this was not that kind of situation, and I talked about it a lot at meetings here, and sometimes felt strange about that, felt like I wasn't carrying a positive message. But I always tried to say, when I shared, that I was grateful to be clean. And, you know, I realized a lot of years ago, we had a Just for Today reading at a meeting, and it talked about gratitude. And a friend of mine who can be a bit cynical, but he's a great friend of mine and a former sponsor, he said, oh yeah, spiritual, da 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 da, gratitude, da 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 da. And I found myself saying to him that, you know, everything doesn't have to be going great in your life for you to have gratitude. And, you know, sometimes in recovery, I found myself saying things that I didn't realize I believed. You know, I hadn't made those things clear to myself yet. And I firmly believe that no matter what is happening in my life, I'm grateful that I'm clean. Partly because I know it would make everything worse. But as far as changing the way we deal with situations, you know, dealing with relationships ending when I was using, I didn't deal with it well, you know, didn't deal with it well with myself. I would go into total isolation. I would get very self-destructive. I would get suicidal, and I would often be really obnoxious to the person that I had been in the relationship with. And everything was incredibly self-centered. And that wasn't the case in this relationship I'd gotten into, this last one. But, you know, I've read Why Are We Here a lot. You know, chose to read that card if it was available. And I believe it says that we put our using ahead of the welfare of our families, wives, and children. And I started reading that as, you know, we put our wants ahead of the welfare of other people. And, you know, I don't have to do that. And you know, we also say recovery doesn't prevent us from having to live through painful situations, and that's absolutely true. Talks about how we can walk through those times and grow in spite of our pain. And recovery is a process of discovery. And I'll stop quoting the literature there. You know, coming through this time, which I kind of came through it like 4 months ago, it was a process. It was a process with my therapist, my sponsor, my support system, and, you know, my relationship to the program and applying it and having absolute trust that it would help me to apply the program. And, you know, while I was obsessing over those many months, I didn't go into total isolation, and I wasn't self-centered all the time. I, you know, would call my friend who lives locally and ask him what was going on in his life and give him encouragement, and he would do the same. And when I talked to my sponsor, you know, he's been my sponsor for, I don't know, 10 years now or something. And, you know, I always make a point of asking him how he's doing, what's going on in his life, before we get into, you know, the sponsorship kind of conversation. But I'm so grateful that I have the sponsor I have, and I'm so grateful I have the sponsor I had when I started out in recovery. And I used to talk to my sponsor every single day. I might call him every single day, even though I rode with him to meetings, and I would tell him exactly what was going on in my head. And, you know, it was not constructive ideas. And he would let me know, you know, I don't think that's a great idea. And, you know, wanting to contact, getting conversations with people I used with, wanting to get ex-girlfriends clean who were like super active, and sometimes just feeling really sad about certain things, or I'd feel that somebody in the program was acting in an inappropriate way, was too judgmental. I struggled with a belief in God, and I would talk to him about all these things, and he would give me a very clear message that I needed, and he would just say, "Is that worth going back out over?" And, you know, is going back out over going to help you with any of these things? And, or you just say, is it worth going back to using? And him saying that to me over and over again, it became more and more clear that I did not want to go back to using, that it was not going to help. And that I didn't have to, you know. One of the great things, great gifts I've gotten in recovery is choice. You know, I can choose whether to stay in relationships with people. I've had to step back from some friendships in my recovery over the years because they weren't healthy. I had to step away from my family briefly during the past year, and, you know, we're all back communicating again, but I was getting a little too much unsolicited advice and catastrophic kind of thinking. And, you know, I think it all came from a genuine place, but it was not helpful. And so I stepped back from that. But we love each other dearly, and none of them live near me, but we talk a lot. And it's a good thing, and I'm grateful for it. You know, my life growing up, I have nothing but older siblings, five older brothers and an older sister. And my parents did not use anything. They barely drank. They might drink on holidays, and I never saw them anywhere near drunk. But my siblings were another story. And, you know, stuff was just handed to me, like I could be very manic, and sometimes it'd be like, shut up and smoke this joint, or you need a drink, or why don't you try this LSD? And so it was a very natural thing. I mean, it was part of becoming a teenager for me was drinking and doing drugs. I absolutely hated high school. I went to school, a technical all boys Catholic school, and it was during court ordered busing where they were trying to desegregate the schools, and I went to this school in the hopes of learning something that I could make a living at, and also I wanted to escape the suburban town where I lived, and the school was in the city. But the overwhelming majority of people who were in that school at the time were trying to avoid desegregation. So there was a lot of extremely negative energy, racist energy, and if there were other people in that school who weren't racist, I never met them. And I was in a group of four of us. The people in the school called us the four burnouts, which is pretty amazing, because there were a lot of drugs in that school. And I felt like, doing drugs was helping me to tolerate, the what felt like a prison sentence being in high school. I wanted out. I wanted my freedom. I wanted out of my parents' house. And so to tolerate it all, I used every morning before school, and virtually every night, I would leave my parents' house at 7:30 in the morning and go to school. And I had a part-time job after school, and then I would go to my girlfriend's house and stay there till like 11 o'clock. So I only came home to sleep. And my mother was not happy with that arrangement. I had to kind of fight for my freedom. I just didn't want to be there. It was an incredibly boring place to live, and I was not close with my parents. And I remember when that relationship ended, and I started staying home again. My parents were like, "It's great to have you back, da 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 da," and then they went off in the living room to watch TV. I would pass by, going from the kitchen to my upstairs bedroom, could see all the way into the living room, and we didn't acknowledge each other. There was no closeness at all. But when I was fighting for that freedom, my mother was extremely difficult. A lot of yelling, screaming even, and she once accused me of making her old. And it was years and years later, I was like 6 years clean or something, I pulled up to the beach nearby. I was just looking at the surf. It was a cold winter day, and I realized two things. One was that I felt like I was a broken person when I was a kid, and that there was disappointment with my parents that I couldn't fix that. I think that's a hell of a lot to put on a child. You're broken, fix it. But I also realized sitting there that my mother was kind of insane during that period of time, in high school. My father had had a stroke, and she had to learn how to drive a car at like 50 years old. And he was kind of a heroic figure, and somebody that she, they had a great marriage. They loved each other very, very much. They weren't too fond of their children, which was kind of a strange setup. They met during World War II, and he was in the U.S. Army, she was in the Navy, and they had a very kind of idyllic life. And then culture change came. My two oldest brothers went to Vietnam, and drugs came into the picture, and it was complete culture shock for my parents. And it was kind of like whenever any of us came out of puberty, because my mother was very Catholic and worried about us having sex, that all physical affection would stop. It happened to each one of us over the years at puberty, and my mother would kind of turn into a, would become a detective, potential criminal relationship, and she'd be trying to find drugs in my clothes, and she'd be trying to find out if I was seeing a girl, and all this kind of stuff. And it was really intense and toxic. So I couldn't wait to get out of the house. And about 9 months, I think, after I got out of high school, I had a breakdown. And I don't know how much of it relates to LSD and how much of it relates to being bipolar, which is the diagnosis I received at that time. But I was hearing voices and hallucinating, and I was hearing this choir that was telling me it was time to die, and I ended up going into a psych ward, and that ended up being a really healthy experience. And I've been in psych ward since and never had that experience again, but there was just a lot of camaraderie and people talking about, what was going on in their lives. And there was a lot of laughter, and from there I went into college and got an apartment, and was incredibly excited. I really loved what I was studying. I was studying literature and creative writing, and it was a whole new life. And but it was also when I discovered the pubs and was in a rock and roll band. And I'd been a very promising writer, and I completely got away from that in favor of, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and just went full speed, like this freight train of compulsion. And there were a lot of highs, and there were a lot of lows. So fast forward, after that 30 years of using and being in so much pain, and I finally found camaraderie in NA with people who weren't destructive influences in my life. And that was a whole new life and a very different sort of freedom than what I felt in my 20s. Again, that freedom to choose who I was around, and to choose, to a certain extent, my state of mind, applying principles and making changes in my life. I found a lot of peace. And I was a landscaper for a while, and I lived by the ocean. I used to go to the beach after work and just sit in my car and stare at the water during my first year of recovery. And I remember asking myself over and over, like, why do I feel so numb? And then after a few months of that, I was like, maybe this is what peace of mind feels like. I wasn't obsessing about anything. There was nothing I needed to worry about at that particular time. And it was foreign to me to have that. And I started meditating every single morning, probably don't know, at least 8 years ago, and I stick to that religiously and without religion, but faithfully. I do that every day. And I started doing it because I would wake up in the morning and nothing would be particularly wrong, but my brain would kind of like scan for like, what should I be worried about? What should I feel bad about? What should I feel self-judgment about? Because for years, when I woke up during my using, there was something wrong. And it took a little bit of thought to figure out what it was, because I wouldn't remember. I blacked out so many times, hundreds of times. And I'd, you know, wake up to an eviction notice on my door, or furniture in my house being broken or upside down, and or wake up in a cell. And it was hard to get away from that feeling, and meditation gave me freedom from that. I was able to start my day with the understanding that, you know, everything's okay, and I'm okay. And if I stay away from using and stay in the program, I'll continue to be okay. If I continue to apply spiritual principles, I'll be okay. And that's like an incredible thing. Yeah, I think I'm just going to leave it there. You know, again, I'm really grateful for what this program's giving me. I'm really grateful, actually, for this past year, the pain I went through, and coming out of that pain and having an incredible change in perspective and a movement away from self-obsession. And, you know, now I don't feel so attached to what I want. I'm able to find stillness and the good things that are happening in my life, and some surprising things over the last few months. I've detached from expectations and just enjoy things as they are. And, you know, I also, during this time, talked to my sponsor and talked to other addicts. And, you know, I had some difficulty with the higher power concept, which I hadn't had in many, many, many years. And I talked about it, and I felt strange about that at meetings. You know, it's am I carrying a bad message or whatever? But I needed to talk about it, and I talked to my sponsor about it and talked to other addicts about it and what was working for them as far as a higher power. And my sponsor gave me heads up for reducing trauma exercise class. And you know, I had the open-mindedness and the willingness to try it out. It was online. And, you know, in the past, I might have thought it was a little too new agey or something, but I did it anyway, and it really helped. And then he mentioned a spiritual guide that I used to follow online, and suggested reconnecting with her online. And I've done that, and it's been incredible, incredibly helpful, and I've found stillness and quiet. And so I'm just so grateful, and I'm so grateful I found the Highlands and Islands group of Narcotics Anonymous, which wouldn't have happened without COVID. I had to find meetings online and shopped around a little bit, and I just found this group to be incredibly supportive. No self-judgment, or I didn't feel self-judgment so much. I struggle with that, but I didn't feel judged at these meetings. And people are very honest, and I've come to love everybody here. And I will leave it there. Thank you for having me speak.